Creates Art Podcast. Project: writing and podcasting a novel in 30 days. Welcome, friend, to Create Art Podcast, where we create more than we consume. I'm Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator, with over 20 years in arts and education, helping you to tame your inner critic and provide you with commentary, interviews, discussions, and projects that will inspire you to create art. Now, this month, I'll be podcasting daily and writing a novel in 30 days. I'm participating in Nay Pod Pomo and Nay No Rhymo. Makes me feel like I'm back in the military with all these acronyms, folks. That's National Podcasting Post Month and National Novel Writing Month. You're going to be able to listen to what I wrote for the day and read it at the same time on the website, createartpodcast.com. Remember, I like things kind of simple, okay? I like to practice what I preach when it comes to art, so I'm challenging myself to write and have you come along for the ride. Now, I hope this inspires you to accomplish your goals with your art. And if you'd like to share what you're doing, email me, timothy@createartpodcast.com. Now, if you want to get involved, head on over to createartpodcast.com and you'll be able to see the daily posts with the word count that I do every day, as well as the text that I do. Feel free to comment on those daily posts. And remember, folks, this is a novel that is coming fresh out of my mind. So it should make some sense. I have an idea where it's going to go. But you may be able to go ahead and help me with the direction of the actual novel. And every day you're going to be hearing me reading those posts to you. So I'm looking forward to this challenge. It's very exciting. I'm a little bit apprehensive, but I think we can do it. All right. Well, get out there and create more than you consume. And here is today's writing. And here we are again, folks. 11 November, 2020. Had a lower count today, 1,439 for my daily count, but my cumulative is 19,336. So that's not too bad. Not too bad. We're right on target for completing the 50,000 words in 30 days. So let's see what we got today. Girl went back to his book and coffee. Looking at his watch, it was getting close to 9. He would need to leave no later than 9:30 to make it to work. Looking over at Cheryl, he saw that she had a mini rush going on and drink orders had lined up. The pattern had been 30 to 40 minutes in the bathroom for the father, so if the pattern held, he would be late for work at best by 10 or 15 minutes. Not the worst news in the world, but he hated being late. The two responsibilities pulling on him were minor. He was not in danger of losing his job if he were to be late, and if he had to bolt out on the shop early, Cheryl would totally understand. He could feel the anxiety begin to creep up a few notches. The patrons at the counter were giving Cheryl a hard time with their drinks, and she was visibly frustrated. Carl could not make out the commotion due to the music and the din of conversation in the shop, but he could tell that she was feeling the pressure of the upcoming confrontation. It had been 10 minutes, and Cheryl finally finished with the group that was giving her a hard time. She came to Carl's table and slumped down in the open chair. "I think I know how to make drinks. I mean, I did win the Barista of the Year in this town for 3 years running, right? And I know my way around an espresso machine. God, I hate customers some days," she said to Carl. "How are you doing over there, young lady?" she asked the quiet girl. "I'm doing fine, just waiting for my dad," said the girl timidly, raising her head out of her book just for a few moments to answer the question and then back to her book. "What are you reading?" Cheryl asked. "Just a book my dad gave me. I'm not really supposed to talk to anyone. Can you leave me alone, please?" said the girl, still quiet and trying to look like she was engrossed in her book. Cheryl looked back over at Carl and said in a low voice, "It's been 15 minutes. And I'm giving another 15 minutes, and then I'll head into the bathroom. Can you look after her while I do that?" Carl matched Cheryl's volume. "Yeah, the lunch crowd doesn't start for a few hours, and I'm already caught up on my daily checklist. How are you holding up?" How was yesterday? She asked. Had a great day. After I left here, I went back to the park and ate the food and read another 50 or so pages and went home, turned on a movie, and fell asleep. Had a stiff neck in the morning, but it was good to take the day off and just sit in the park, Carl replied. Cheryl was focused on the girl while Carl talked. She was trying to get a clue as to what was going on, looking at every movement the girl made, seeing how much cookie she ate or milk she drank. The girl was unaware of the examination, as Carl was, and he was just a table widths away. Do you need a refill on your milk or another cookie? It's on the house, Cheryl asked the girl. No, I'm fine, thank you. I've got a really good chocolate chip muffin in the display counter, and it's got your name on it if you want it. Plus, I can get you juice if you prefer, asked Cheryl. I think my dad will be back any time now. He doesn't want me to drink any sugary drinks like juice. I usually just drink milk or water, replied the girl. Well, you're just about out of milk. Do you want a chocolate milk? We won't tell your dad, asked Cheryl. Really? Yes, please, said the girl even more meekly. She peered from behind her book and looked toward the men's bathroom. What if my dad comes back? He would be mad. Not a problem. I'll take the chocolate milk off your table and put it on mine. And we'll make sure you have a full glass of regular milk on your table, said Carl, conspiring with Cheryl. Tell you what, Carl's going to head to the bathroom, and I'll grab that chocolate milk for you, okay? Drink it down fast, said Cheryl. Okay, whispered the girl. A smile started to form on her face, and her eyes sparkled for the first time in the 4 days that Cheryl had seen her. Carl took the cue and got up. His heart was pumping to be part of this conspiracy. Slowly, he walked toward the bathroom, thinking how he could broach a conversation with this man. He had done nothing wrong. To say that Carl felt awkward was an understatement. The girl was naturally shy, as most 9-year-old girls would be at that age. He didn't know why he thought she was 9, but she looked like it, or maybe he was succumbing to the exercise that he taught Cheryl the other day. He didn't have any kids, but yet never felt awkward around other people's kids. He wasn't a pro like Nate was. He just went with what he thought the kids liked, and usually kids warmed up to him and liked him. When he reached the bathroom, he took a deep breath and entered it. It was go time for him. He would end this issue, if it even was an issue, and get back to work and back to his life. There was no one at the urinals, so he thought the man was in a stall. A gentle breeze hit his face that seemed to cool him down. He looked at the sink, and someone left a book with some papers on it. The window had been opened, and the day was looking a little cloudy, like it may storm in a few hours. Carl cleared his throat. Hey, bud, I don't mean to intrude here, but I need to head off to work, said Carl. He looked at the stall door and tried to listen for any sound. Excuse me, this is Carl, the guy watching your daughter out there. I need to head off to work, and I needed to talk to you a minute, Carl said to the stall. He still didn't hear anything. Then it hit him. He didn't hear anything. There was no piss, no straining, no breathing, no wrestling of toilet paper. There was no sound except the breeze coming through the open window. He didn't want to look in the stall as it reminded him of a stall he had been in a few years ago when he first received the diagnosis. He didn't want to see the dead man he had tried to become when he attempted to end his life through swallowing all the pills in his medicine cabinet and his ex-wife found him on the floor of their bathroom. His heart slowed down to a crawl and he began sweating. He stuck his head out the window to see if the man fled through that opening. He didn't see anyone running or hear any car pulling out. How would he explain this to Cheryl and the kid? What would happen to her? He pulled his head back in and began repeating, no, 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 damn it, no. Tears started pouring out of his eyes and he began sobbing and saying, no, 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 don't you dare do this to her. Something welled up in his chest and he sat on the floor, still whimpering and crying. When he reached the floor, his head laid there for a moment. He saw the toilet base in the urinal, but no shoes, no hands, no fingers slouched over. He got up quickly and flew open the stall door to reveal nothing. The man must have left through the window. Relief flooded back into Carl. He stuck his head back out the window, and still there was no one there. Looking back at the bathroom, he saw the book and the papers on top of the book. The top paper had his name on it. A note, Carl thought, for me. He picked up the paper and the book and sat back down on the floor and began to read the words through his tears. And that, folks, is what we have for today. Thank you so much for coming along on this journey with me and for listening and reading through the novel. Thank you for listening to Create Art Podcast, where we help you create more than you consume. And this has been a production of Gagglepod Studios. Gagglepod, since 2016, we've been helping creatives tell their stories through podcasting. And a few of our other shows are War Yankee, where Kyle Bondo explores the battles of the Civil War that happened in his backyard. Podwrecked, where Tim and Kyle help you survive your podcast. And Tim's latest production, Clearly Obtuse, where Tim explores what an avant-garde podcast sounds like. You can see all of our shows at gagglepod.com. We hope to see you there. And until next time, create more than you consume.